You're listening to the Stallion Nation Podcast, your number one source for Salt Lake Stallions news, stats, and exclusive content you won't find anywhere else. Join us, Champ, E-Rock, and P-Rex, as we move full steed ahead during the AAF season.
Stallions fans, it's Stallion Nation. Are you excited or what? I'm your host, Champ, E-Rock, P-Rex. Guys, welcome to the show.
Good to welcome again to welcome our again. Show.
We do have to mention that we took about two takes before we got to this one because I kept screwing up. So here we are.
Champ's a little off tonight.
I'm a little off. I got a massage full body and I am super relaxed. So if I just start
TBI. TBI.
Isn't it TMI? To be information? It's too much information, P-Rex.
You are correct.
Okay. Well, there's not enough information about our sponsor, Streamlit. But we're going to give you a little bit of it. Put your finger on the pulse of the indie film industry and support Utah artists by subscribing to Streamlit, the only gamified streaming platform dedicated entirely to brand new indie films. At Streamlit, you are the critic. Your votes help determine which films get seen more often and which artists get the most exposure. Visit Streamlit.com and use the code STALLIONS for half off a monthly or yearly subscription. So go check it out. That's STALLIONS to get that half off monthly or yearly subscription at Streamlit. Thank you, Streamlit, for letting this podcast happen.
That's a pretty good deal.
It's a great deal. I mean, I've seen some of the films on Streamlit. They're pretty exciting.
Well, I mean, like, those are all like the independent filmmakers, right? That try and submit their videos to Sundance.
Exactly.
Just to get some recognition, and there's some good ones that come out of there.
That's right. That's right. So it's good. Go check it out. Thank you, Streamlit, for making this thing happen. So tonight for the show, we are going to talk the sad loss against the Commanders. It ended in a very sad fashion. We'll talk about that. We're going to talk about trending news. There's some things in the AAF that may mean that there's not even going to be an AAF. Our hopes are that there is a next season, or even a continuation of this season, and we'll get to that. We're going to talk a little bit of John Zell, I think, and we'll talk about our Stallions players and what they're doing in the community to get out and help out, which is a really great thing as well. We'll talk power rankings. We'll see where the Stallions stand. We'll talk Stallions, Streamlit Stallion Player of the Week, and then we will end with a preview of the game coming up against the Fleet on Saturday. So, first and foremost, the Commanders beat us at the Alamo. Yeah.
They had one last stand.
They had one last stand. Unfortunately, that stand ended in a pick for two. Is that what you call it? A pick two?
Yep.
I've never seen that, man. Like,
yo, remember when Eric Berry had a pick two that won the game against the Falcons?
Yeah, yeah. I think the Broncos have done it a couple times.
Who's Eric Berry?
Some has been chief.
Yeah.
I don't know who that is. We're talking about AAF.
But yeah, so the game against the Commanders, again, the final score was 19-15. Here's your spread. So San Antonio scored 6 points in the first, three in the second. So again, at halftime, we held this team to nine.
Stellar defense.
Stellar defense in the first half. We're holding these teams to just not allow them to score very many points. Unfortunately, Salt Lake only scored six in the first half. And then when they came out of that, they scored three in the third and six in the fourth. But they allowed 10 points in the fourth to the Commanders. Eight being their own and two being from that two-point conversion that was intercepted. Tell me what your guys' thoughts are on the overall play and overall outcome of that game.
So, for me, as I was watching the game, I felt like the Stallions are getting better, right? Especially their QB play. It is improving, right? That's not to say it's perfect. I've seen a lot of outcries from the fans saying that Josh Woodrum is just not a good QB, and I disagree. Right. He does have a lot of interceptions, but he's an accurate QB, and he just needs to work on his decision-making a little bit.
Sure.
There's going to need to be...
You mean like a decision to throw on the flat an interception?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I watched part of the game. Unfortunately, I didn't get to watch the whole game. But in that play I watched, he was eyeballing that receiver the whole time.
Oh my gosh. The moment he snapped it, he instantly looked over.
He's like, okay,
dude, here it comes. I'm gonna throw it. And then he threw it too far to the right.
Yeah.
Like, you gotta lead him to the left where only the receiver can catch it.
Right. So yes, P-Rex, he's a good quarterback, but he makes mistakes. And everybody makes mistakes.
He does. It's kinda like he does, it's like good Woodrum, bad Woodrum.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, yeah.
He dropped a couple of dimes. He dropped one into Newbie.
Yeah.
For that touchdown, the big one.
He can thread the needle. That's a dime. Yeah.
But then, I mean, the interception there in the end zone. He had another one earlier in the game where he threw it, and it was intercepted at like the 5.
Yeah.
And those are moments where you cannot turn the ball over.
Especially in that spot. Like,
yeah.
That's where you need to protect the ball the most is when you're in the red zone. Like when we're at the game. Help our Stallions. Protect our red zone. But anyway, the rushing yards was pretty low for the Stallions. We only got 49 yards. Rushing plays were, we only ran 18 rushing plays.
See, I thought that was interesting because the majority of the rushing plays, from my perspective, were given to Buonyo.
Right.
And Buonyo is our power back. He's a good back, but he's not our speed back.
Right. With Buonyo, he had 9 attempts at 35 yards, so his longest was a 12-yard run. No touchdowns.
Right, so he got half the carries is what you're saying.
Yes.
Right, so, okay.
Yes, he did get half because Ward ran for 7 and Josh Woodrum had 2 rushes for -1 yards.
So they were split between Buonyo and Ward.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the run game wasn't really going. The passing game was going really well in the first half. It really was.
Yeah.
Our defense was stellar in the first half. Again, I think we said in the previous podcast, the contingency for them winning this game was less penalties and less turnovers. We led that game in penalties.
And we led that game in turnovers.
In turnovers. And they capitalized off of our turnovers.
Yeah.
If I might be mistaken, but I believe that red zone interception led to a scoring drive. You can't have that.
Yeah, it's really
bad. Keep getting the turnovers at like really inopportune moments.
Yeah.
You know, we're in the red zone. You can't do that.
Yep.
Going for the 2-point tie and you throw a pick 2, whatever you want to call it.
You want to hear a crazy stat? We fumbled the ball 4 times, but we got them all.
We recovered all of our fumbles.
4 fumbles though. That's
yeah.
That's
yeah.
Not good.
I remember watching.
The penalties were at 11 for 74 yards. We lost 74 yards in that game from 11 penalties.
Yeah.
That is bad.
So here's the thing. The Stallions are a good team. They're a good team that needs to work on polishing their game.
Right.
They need to polish the little things. They need the Bill Belichick, I hate to say it, the Bill Belichick style of discipline. Because he's one of the best coaches in the NFL for implementing discipline on his players.
Right.
You know? The way they practice is the way they play. And maybe Eckerson needs to take a note from his book.
Erickson.
You heard me.
Well, and I think this game kind of confirmed what we've been saying basically every single week. The defense is stellar. The front 7 is fantastic. But the offense, honestly, I think is the thing holding us back.
Yep.
Because obviously Woodrum turns it over a decent amount. We fumble it a lot. We got lucky that we recovered it every single time this time.
Yeah.
But it's killer because it's such a good team, but the offense just isn't quite there. And we're constantly losing games by, you know, 4 points or 2 points. You know?
We only lost this one by 4, and 2 of them were at the hand of the interception on the 2-yard line. Just blows my mind. Actually, it was probably in the end zone. That guy ran for 100 or 99 yards for 2 points. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. He is the leading interception leader in the AAF, though.
Yeah.
Catching
like 5.
And E-Rock, last week, you pointed out that the Commanders are one of the best in the secondary. So we saw that in that game. So what do the Stallions need to do? That's the next question. What do we need to do in the last 3 weeks of the season? What do the Stallions have to do or change or how do they rally? We got 3 games left. We still technically have a chance at the playoffs. It probably starts with beating the fleet. Am I right?
So, 3 things real quick. 1, defense, just keep doing what you're doing.
Right.
2, offense, stop giving the ball to the other team.
Oh, my gosh.
3, you got to convert and score.
Yes, absolutely. Some quotes from some team members and coaches. This is Tenny Palapoy. He says, we understand the importance of every game we have left, so we must continue to stay focused on winning one game at a time and focusing on the opponent we are facing. Nothing last week or next week matters, only right now. Then you have wide receiver Sam Mobley saying, we have a great team and a great coaching staff. We just have to continue to stick together and believe in each other like we have. We have to get back to the drawing board, clean up our mental mistakes, continue to get better in practice each week, and we will finish strong. And then, of course, we got to hear from what Carter Schultz has to say. He says, we just have to stay true to what we do best. We have to take care of the football better and take the football from the other team. Keep the pressure on the QB, stop the run. The defense has been tough on any offense in the league. Also, we need to control the turnovers. We have a solid offense, but giving the ball away is what hurts us.
So here's a good point. And here's something we really haven't looked at when we've been evaluating this team. We have a solid defense, right? Our pass rush is probably the best in the
Agreed.
League. In the league. But
well, Carter Schultz, yeah, I mean,
how many times have we taken away the ball from the offense? We haven't. We haven't really capitalized on turnovers.
We don't actually.
I wish I had a cricket noise in my
voice
box.
We've got one interception from Martini.
We got an interception against the Commanders.
Oh, we did?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I must have missed that.
But
so we got two.
Not very
good. We don't have a lot.
Right.
Right? We do not have a lot of turnovers. And our defense is good enough to force turnovers.
Right.
There should be some more forced fumbles. You know what's funny? When I watched him play, I remember watching Luke when he goes to tackle. I saw him. He's going for the ball. Like, they're practicing that. They're trying to strip that ball away every time they're tackling him. It's just we got to
capitalize.
Yeah.
So we beat the Fleet. That puts us at 3-5. We beat the one other team we haven't played yet, the Atlanta Legends, right? We haven't played the Legends yet.
Yep.
That'll be the next game after that. That'll put us at 4-5, and then if we beat
the Commanders
at home in Salt Lake, that'll put us at 5-5, and that will give us two more W's in the division column. What also has to happen is the Fleet and the Hotshots have to be losing.
Yes.
Right? That's the only way we make the playoffs at this point.
Right. So if the Hotshots, what is it? They're 4-3.
Right.
So
they lose
technically,
out.
They can only win one of their remaining three games.
And
they don't have to lose out. They can, because we could win out. They only win one, and then we'd have the same record at that point.
But don't we have the tiebreak at that point?
We do have the tiebreak because we've beaten them. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but they've beat us.
They have beat us.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
So
who would it go to in that? That would be tough. Wait, how does that go?
Probably would go to the next what teams you have beaten in the division otherwise.
Right. Who has more division wins?
Right.
And we don't know.
We won't
exactly
know
who
until
that
the
is.
End, yeah.
But let's see. Our wins have come from the Express, who is not in our division, and the Hotshots. So probably the Hotshots have more.
Yeah. At the end of the day, we need the Hotshots to lose out if we want a fighting chance. We also need the Fleet to continue to lose. The Fleet aren't as high priority as the Hotshots because the Fleet have kind of been on a cooled streak. So, anyway, let's move on. We know that the Stallions need a win, obviously. They've only won two games in this season. But will there even be a season? There are reports. You've all heard it. Everyone's heard it. And everyone's sad about it, that there is chance that the AAF folds. There's different reports coming out that also the AAF is using this as a tactic to negotiate terms with the NFL Players Association. But that is the cause of all this drama. Let me tell you a little bit more about that from the ESPN story that was brought about yesterday. The majority owner of the Alliance of American Football told USA Today Sports that the league is in danger of folding without help from the NFL Players Association. Tom Dundon, who became the AAF's chairman last month, told USA Today Sports in a recent interview that the NFLPA is not cooperating with the AAF by refusing to allow the first-year league to use young NFL players.
See, and they're not asking for much.
No.
You know what
I
mean?
They're just like, we want to use your players that you're not going to utilize besides in practice, right, to play in our league.
See, I only see a benefit for the NFL and them doing this, because the NFLPA is concerned about their players. They're like, okay, what if they get injured? That screws up their NFL season.
Right.
I understand that. But the AAF is not asking for your all-star wide receiver or your all-star quarterback. They're asking for your recent draft picks that are going to be third stringers anyway that have to develop their game. What better way than going to a G League of sorts,
right,
to develop your play? I mean, you kind of look at it. Here in Utah, we have the Utah Jazz, right?
Right.
They have a developmental league, the G League. We have a recent draft pick, right, Josh Allen.
Yeah.
And he is going to the G League to play games. He's playing games right now to develop his play. That's what he wants to do. If the players want to do it and the NFLPA is concerned for the players, then they should leave it to the players.
Yeah.
That's my take.
That's a good take. E-Rock, any thoughts?
I have thoughts, but Purex pretty much covered them all.
Nice.
Same.
Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah,
I yield the floor.
Yeah. The NFLPA had no official response to Dundon's comment, which his comment was, if the players union is not going to give us young players, we can't be a developmental league. We are looking at our options, one of which discontinuing the league. So that phrase, when he presented that in his interview, that's what caused a ruckus in all of the group chats, all of the social medias, all the news.
On ESPN.
Yeah. I mean, this is a report from ESPN, so it is all over the place, and now it's news when they're going to fold, right? Like, you don't see ESPN talking too much about the AAF until...
That's right. Maybe it could be a tactic, though. It's right. Like, they're trying to get exposure. Maybe people are seeing this headline like, wait, there's an AAF?
Exactly.
Because I know plenty of people that don't know about this league.
Now, let me drop some truth bombs on you real quick.
We got a marketing specialist.
Yeah, no. There was a gentleman. I think it was a gentleman. It might have been
gentle?
A gentlewoman. Either way, gentle. on the Stallions group Facebook, he dropped some major money stats. He said, listen, you have a majority owner who paid $250 million or invested $250 million into this league. And then he broke it down. He said, you have 52 men on a roster, and each of them make $83,000 a year. So then he added that up, and it was in the millions, right?
Right.
Then he went to the coaches, and he said, okay, each coach is making anywhere between 100 to – I'm sure there's a set number. And then that sum was in the millions. You get to the next one. You have your high-level executives. They're probably making around $500,000 a year. Then that number was in the very high millions. So then at the end of this entire list, he just kept going down the list. He said, if you look at these numbers, yeah, that equals about $250,000 or $250 million. Of course, this league's only going to last 1 year. So he dropped that, and it makes sense. But here's the other thing. There's other people that are investing money in this. It's not only him. But the reason he had to invest that much money is because they couldn't make payroll the second week of the league.
Right.
So the worry is that this league is not, first of all, financially stable. Second of all, being run by people who know how to make it financially stable. Does that make sense?
Right.
So could it be the end of the AAF?
Well, we certainly hope not.
We certainly hope not.
I think it's always a possibility, right? There's been so many other ventures that have tried, right? There's been plenty of other startup leagues that have failed. The XFL, they failed, which they're making a comeback.
They're trying to make a comeback. And it was funny, somebody posted on social media, they're like, now all the XFL fans are going to come out from under their rocks and be like, we're the league that is going to be the top league. Like, well, easy.
I'm just interested to see what they do to capitalize off of their previous mistakes.
Yeah, no, they, man, that was a really good 30 for 30 that ESPN put out about
it.
It
was amazing.
The XFL really tried to do some stuff. All right, Johnny Manziel
makes his
makes his debut in the AAF. P-Rex, you seem to know kind of what happened in that game. I did watch him play as well. I wasn't that impressed, but it seems like you're impressed.
I was impressed. His very first pass was a 37-yard gain.
And then he ran for 20 yards, right?
Yes. So he, on that drive, he ran for 20, 37-yard pass on the first play. Got him into field goal range, and then the field goal was missed.
Womp womp.
Right? No, and that was pretty much the extent of his play. I thought it was decent, you know, for a guy who has been in and out of football.
Yeah.
But I really respected this move, and I think it demonstrates the maturity level that you're starting to see with, you know, a Hellion who has been labeled a Hellion, but yet still gets all the attention.
Sure.
They were chanting in the third quarter, bring back Manziel. The fans want to see Manziel. They understand that. But the coaching staff, all the other players, they recognize that their starting QB has put in the reps, he's put in the time, and Manziel has recognized that as well. And he made the comment, he's like, I get sick of it because it's happened every time, right?
Right.
And he was basically saying, I haven't earned a spot on this team. You know, I haven't earned my reps, so I'm going to be cheering for my teammate. And he was rooting for his QB. And he didn't like that the fans were chanting that out. And I respect that. That's a level of maturity that I think you can.
Well, on top of that, how long has he been there? Like half a week?
A week yeah. and a half.
So like, how are you going to learn the playbook that quickly?
You don't.
Let alone you're still probably trying to do those name games that you do first day of class, you know, just to remember who your teammates are.
Right. No, that's true. I do respect that as well. I think Johnny Manziel, it seems like he's got a little bit better head on his shoulders.
Rehab works wonders.
Right. But I still got to see it to believe it.
Right,
so,
right. And this is his chance.
This
you know?
Is his chance.
So that was a small, you know, small thing that you can look at and see, oh, maybe there's been a change.
Right. Final trending news, and we'll just say it briefly, and we'll go into power rankings. The Stallions this last week volunteered at the Ronald McDonald House. Close to 20 Stallions players went to the big playrooms with the kids on Monday night. And Luke Carrizola, our man, he said, to be able to see how much fun and high-spirited the kids were really made our day, and it gives us motivation to go out and do what we do every day. So hats off to the Stallions team and going out and helping the community out. That's really sweet. So let's talk power rankings real fast, and then we'll jump into the Stallion Player of the Week. Where does everything stand when it comes to power rankings in Week 8?
Well, we've got three teams at the bottom. One of them are the Stallions.
We started from the bottom, and we're still there.
And we're still working on it. But I would put them, and this is, there might be a little biased opinion in this,
sure.
But I do believe that they are solid at the sixth spot.
Yeah.
That's what I'd say.
Yeah. Actually, surprisingly, Pro Football Focus puts them at five. Even
really?
Even with the record they have.
Who do they put them above that doesn't have a 2-5
Who's the
record?
One?
Yeah, that's a great question. They actually put the Fleet at six, putting Memphis at seven and Atlanta at eight. Now, Memphis and Atlanta, I think, are in that spot, but I think you do swap probably the Fleet with the Stallions. And then putting at number four, it kind of remains where we put it last week. Birmingham at four, Arizona at three, San Antonio at two, and then the Orlando Apollos at one.
Right.
So what do you guys think? So the five's a little high for the Stallions.
Yeah, I don't know if you can put them there because, I mean, the Fleet, even though they haven't been performing well, they still beat them. You
right.
know? They had less mistakes. We could have won that game.
We should have won that game.
It came down to the wire. Again, I'm sick of it. Four out of these five losses have come down to the wire, right?
Yeah.
One being the blowout that happened against the Hotshots.
Which was like the first wasn't that like the first game of the season.
It was the first game, you know?
Yeah.
And these guys were practicing together for like a week.
Yeah.
So I don't know. My Stallions are better than what their record looks like, and I'm okay with that. This is a first year.
Yeah. No, I absolutely agree with you. So there's your power rankings by the Stallion Nation crew here. Make sure you go follow us on Facebook and Instagram at SL Stallions Podcast. And make sure you also go follow us on Twitter at SL Stallions Pod. Make sure you subscribe, share it with your friends. Also, go check out Streamlit, our sponsor. So now let's jump into Streamlit Stallion of the Week.
Streamlit Stallion of the Week.
Stallions fans, it's time. We have our Streamlit Stallion of the Week.
Streamlit.
Who is, in fact, Nick Truesdale.
Yeah.
Now this guy.
And true.
Was clutch.
The truth, man. The truth. He is clutch.
Yes, absolutely.
Not just was, is.
What are those stats again, champ?
Dude, give me some stats, yo. So, do you want Nick Truesdale last week, or do you want Nick Truesdale over the last five games?
Let's start with last week.
Fine. All right, so receptions, he had four receptions. But get this, he went for 74 yards off four receptions.
Makes you question how come he isn't getting more targets.
Right. I feel like he is the best non-wide receiver in the league.
That is a valid concern, you know?
Right.
If you got a guy that he can catch it and get you some yards, you got to get him the ball more.
Absolutely. Truesdale could potentially... What do you got?
No. I was going to say, like... so, E-Rock, how many targets do you think Travis Kelce gets in one game on average?
That's a good question.
Minimum 7 to 10.
Okay.
Minimum 7 to 10.
And you have a Truesdale, a tight end, 4 for 74 yards. What's his average probably receiving in a game? Maybe 70 to 100?
For who?
Travis Kelce.
Yeah, it's about 100 yards a game.
Yeah. So we're talking a discount Travis Kelce, all right? That's what we're talking about.
Travis Kelce needs a teammate at tight end too, so I mean...
There are a lot of teams...
They'll get a little ring there.
Including the Broncos that need a tight end, right? So let me just give you a little bit of what he has done in the last five games. Against Arizona, he had one reception for 3 yards. Womp womp. But then he comes out and he's like, you know what? I think I'm going to play a little bit harder. He gets 10 yards on one reception against Orlando. That was a snowy game. But then he kills it against San Diego. You guys remember the reach? The reach to get us within two, right? Classic game. He had 6 receptions for 71 yards, and that was his touchdown. And then in the game against Memphis, he was 5 receptions for 67 yards and a touchdown. So he's getting more targets. They're recognizing that he is a great safety blanket for Woodrum. So he is our Streamlit Stallion Player of the Week. Truesdale, thanks for being the truth for us here in Salt Lake City. So now let's finish the show with a preview of the game ahead. We play the Fleet. We beat the Fleet. We got a shot at the playoffs. We've already kind of talked about what we really need to do, but it's turnovers, right? It's got to be turnovers. The turnovers have to stop.
I mean, we could just recap it all. Penalties got to stop. Turnovers got to stop. Defense has to continue through the fourth quarter.
Right.
Defense has to capitalize on some turnovers to help our offense out. I mean, that's pretty clear cut. But the thing is here, you're not going to see a lot of running in this game. There's a top two defenses. So, I mean, just like the first one, they're going to be throwing the ball.
Right.
So Woodrum is going to have to make some good choices.
Yes.
Especially in the fourth, especially in the red zone. Mm-hmm. I would even argue maybe don't throw the ball in the red zone because it happens all the time. We lose it.
You know, honestly, the moment they get the ball into the red zone, just kick a field goal.
Yeah.
First and 10, field goal unit, go.
If we would have done that all of our previous games, we would have like 3 more wins.
So. Oh, man. Yeah, because we haven't been losing by much, right?
So other question, do we know if the Fleet starting QB is playing? Because wasn't it their backup that we played against last time?
No. What's his name? I always forget it. Berkovici?
Yeah, the the one who has
the
hit heard around the world.
That's right.
And the one who has the backwards chuck, grandma toss.
Mm-hmm.
Do we know if he's playing?
I think he is starting this week, yes.
So the one thing that I can't say, because I'd watched film on them a couple weeks ago, that QB is very turnover prone.
Yeah.
So if our defense is going to step up and actually get some turnovers, that's the time. Because he tries to extend the play. You know, he tries to like roll around, you know, roll to one side and do all these crazy running things. but then he's constantly getting hit, and he doesn't have a firm grip on the ball when he gets hit.
Sure.
So if Carter and all those other guys can get after him, I could see a lot of fumbles happen in this game.
So here's something interesting. All great points. The Stallions are favored on the betting line by 3 points. So
dang straight.
That's straight up, dog. So our spread is -3. What are we talking over under 40?
Under.
Overall score. It has shown.
We barely get into the 20s, if even.
It has shown under.
Yeah, for probably. The most part. Probably under.
San Diego's 32-15 lost to Arizona. Really took them back a little bit. Mike Bercovici, that is his name, had another up and down performance, completing 22 of 43 passes.
That's a lot of throwing.
It's a lot of throwing and a lot of misses. He threw 2 interceptions, and the backfield is dwindling. Then, of course, Salt Lake lost to the San Antonio Commanders. Josh Woodrum had a meh performance against the Commanders, completing 22 of 35, just about 10% higher completion rating compared to Bercovici. Slot receiver DeMornay Pearsonell was 5 receptions for 68 yards, and again, Nick Truesdale, 4 for 74. That helped them get down, but at the end of the day, we lost right at the end. So both teams are coming off losses. We have a game coming up that is critical for both teams to win. Favored by 3. Are we going with our Stallions?
You got to go with the Stallions.
I know, every time.
Absolutely. Well, it's at home too, right?
Yeah.
It is in Rice-Eccles Stadium on Saturday.
At 6 p.m.
At 6 p.m. Be there. Be square. I know that a lot of military men and women are being recognized at that game and have been offered free tickets, which is awesome by the Stallions organization. So, anyway, go support the Stallions. I'm going to be watching at home because I have to watch some kids. But it should be a good game. I mean, if it's anything like the game against the Fleet in San Diego, it's going to be a good game.
Oh, yeah. Right? That was a really good game.
One for the history books.
I wasn't even upset that they lost because I was like, that was awesome.
Are you kidding me? I was pissed.
I was pissed.
Well, I mean, yeah, it was upsetting, but it was still a really good game.
It was great football, and that's ultimately what we're looking
for. My sister and her husband were at that game.
There, dude. Sick hell. But anyway, that is our show. That is Stallion Nation. Thanks so much for listening. Make sure you go follow us, subscribe to the podcast, share it with your friends. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
P-Rex, E-Rock, share it with your friends.
Oh, all the time. Yeah. All the time.
Yeah, just all the time. Just do it. Yeah. That is our show. Thank you, Streamlet, for making it happen. We'll end with a shout-out. I'm Champ.
E-Rock.
P-Rex.
And we will check you next week on Stallion Nation. Peace out.